Hello there, Bernie Miklas back with you. It is what? Wednesday. All right, we're moving through the week, aren't we? Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show. Thank you for subscribing. Thanks for your support and all your comments. Today, I wanted to talk about this so-called reset again, you know, about the Cardinals. Oh, this is the year of the opportunity for young players. This is that. We're going to give them a chance. I think it's more of a marketing pitch than anything of substance. Yes, some young players will get more of an opportunity. Won't change. I mean, Jordan Walker will, but otherwise, it's not going to change drastically. And then they still have this strange situation with their starting pitching. And I know that during the course of a year, there's a lot of starting pitchers a team needs to use. So, you know, at some point, everyone will get a chance, anyone who's viable. I realize all that, but that really doesn't strike to the heart of the matter, because the Cardinals could be giving opportunities to younger starting pitchers sooner rather than later. And I want to get into this. And listen, I'm just going to tell you up front, I'm going to be really straight with you. This one's going to be longer than usual because I have a lot of information and a lot of historical perspective that is totally relevant to the situation that the Cardinals are in now. I will try, other than doing this introduction, I will try not to waste any more of your time than I absolutely have to. And I made sure to make careful notes. So I'll be doing a lot of reading, but that's the best way to get through this. So let's get started, because as we're talking about, well, you know, Michael McGreevy, is he going to get a chance to start? Is Quinn Matthews going to get a chance to start? What about Tink Hentz some point in the season? What about any number of, I'm going to use Mosaic's word, you know, what about any number of young starting pitchers that are on the runway waiting to get clearance, right? And I think to learn about why I am so distrustful of this process, I think we have to review history. The bottom line is they don't know what they're doing with young pitching. And you got one more year of the regime that absolutely has no idea what they're doing with young pitching. So I have to talk you all through that. All right. Okay. I'm just telling you in advance. All right. Let's get started. Why don't we start with Zach Thompson? 19th pick in the 2019 draft. He's made only 12 starts in the majors. Roughly half of his big league innings have been in relief, but the Cardinals couldn't pick a direction. Does that sound familiar? Back and forth, starter, reliever, no starter, no reliever. St. Louis, Memphis. You know, Thompson, because I think he was being used in relief, and then it'd stop, and then he'd have to stretch out, and then he'd be used in relief again, and all this other stuff. You know, he developed some weakness in his shoulder, and I don't think he's really built to pitch in relief. But the Cardinals kept yo-yoing him, you know, back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation, Memphis, St. Louis. And this is a guy who actually pitched pretty well when they gave him a chance as a starter in between all of the disruptions. In 2023, Zach Thompson had a chance to make 9 starts and did just fine. 5 of the 9 starts were above average. Another was average. 3 weren't good. 6 of his 9 starts in 2023, Thompson allowed 3 runs or less. In the 9 starts, he had a 24% strikeout rate. That's pretty good for major league starting pitcher. He had a fielding independent ERA that was around 4.00. And his 9 starts in 2023 were made late in the season. So the Cardinals had a chance to take a good look at him, you know, going forward. But he was a non-factor last season, a total non-factor. After a good spring training, Zach Thompson had a chance to make some early starts when Sonny Gray opened the season on the IL, and Thompson wasn't good. He'd be the first to tell you that. He didn't pitch very well. The Cardinals, though, they banished him to the minors on April the 24th, and he never came back. Just a lost season for a pitcher who was drafted in the first round and who by now should be at least a decent, solid major league starting pitcher. One of Thompson's, and this speaks to what I'm about to say, and this is why I got it going, all this stuff. What I'm about to say will enlighten some people that still don't get it about why this complete renovation of this player development system was a necessity. Zach Thompson offers a good example of that, other than the fact they didn't know what to do with him as a pitcher. But anyway, One of Thompson's problems early last year was he had lost weight, and that altered his mechanics, and it led to a drop in velocity. Now, I don't know why Thompson decided that he needed to lose weight. I don't know if anyone with the Cardinals kind of suggested it. I have no idea. But for people who still don't understand why the Cardinals need to make these substantial changes that they're doing in the player development methods, Thompson is, like I said, a good example. The new farm director, Rob Serfolio, he doesn't think it's all about, it's like, well, here's the ball, you're a starter. Oh, here's the ball, you're a reliever, go get him. Rob Serfolio's putting in a total development program. And don't roll your eyes, because most major league teams have already done this. A total development program that does include an emphasis on nutrition, you know, sleep patterns, advanced training, all these things that can enhance a player's physical ability, his strength, his endurance, all kinds of things. And under Heim Bloom and Serfolio, minor league players will be monitored closely, and they'll be provided with everything they need to be at their best. And that includes their bodies and stuff that, the you know, back in the old days, no one ever cared about. Now, most teams, I don't have a number, they're big into nutrition and all this other stuff. So the players know exactly what to do to help themselves. And that way, going forward, the next Zach Thompson won't just decide on a whim to lose weight thinking it'll make him better, when losing weight actually made him worse. But from now on, players in that system are going to have all the information and guidance and that they need as part of a really comprehensive, well-conceived training program that's going to benefit them. They won't be making willy-nilly weight loss decisions on their own. The Cardinals have been so far behind other teams in this area, it's almost comical. One footnote to Zach Thompson. At the winter warm-up, he told media that he was working with his college pitching coach this offseason because he's hoping that can help get him back on track. Think about that a minute, will you? There's been such a lack of internal support and guidance from inside this organization until now when they're making the changes. A dude like Thompson resorts to going outside the organization and to someone he trusts to help him get back on track. I mean, that is not how this is supposed to work. Next up, Matthew Liberatore, drafted 16th overall by Tampa Bay in 2018, traded the Cardinals for outfielder Radney Rosarena. Liberatore is still only 25 years old. Down in Tampa Bay, really intelligent staff loved him. Heim Bloom was a big part of that staff, and that staff had Liberatore pegged as a major league starting pitcher, had to develop, of course. But Tampa Bay had a surplus of pitching. Gee, imagine that. What's that like? And they decided to flip Liberatore to the Cardinals because they really needed to boost their outfield and they really needed to boost their offense, and they loved a Rosarena. In other words, they know what they're looking at when they scout players, unlike some organizations I know, like the one that's located maybe like 5 miles from my house. Their staff coveted Randy Rosarena, who never got a real chance to play here because Mike Schilt, frankly, didn't like him. Just go look at September of 2021, was it? Yeah, whatever the year that was, and I'm messing this up, and I told you I wouldn't get off track. But the time that they actually called Rosarena up to the major leagues, like, he hardly played in September, even though the Cardinals outfield was a hot mess at that time. That's all I'm trying to say. Schilt didn't play him. And so the Cardinals figure, well, you know, we like the manager until they didn't. And, we love all of our future Hall of Fame outfielders we have in development, so we'll just trade him and we'll get a good pitcher. Well, Liberatore could have been a good pitcher. He still might be a good pitcher. He's really talented, and he's only 25. He has looked good as a reliever, and he's been a poor starter. And instead of finding ways to make the lefty Liberatore much better against right-handed batters, which is a real weakness, and that would make him more viable and effective as a starting pitcher, the Cardinals just recast him as a reliever. See, they do that a lot with these young pitchers. If it doesn't work well right away, it's like, well, what do we do now? What do we do? Oh, get him to Memphis. Put him in the bullpen. You know, they just can't make people better. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to blow a gasket. Listen, I'm not here. Listen, because I know you're thinking right now. I can hear you think, even though you're not watching this yet. Or as I record this, you're not watching it. You can't until I put it up. You're thinking, well, come on, Bernie Lubitor's been awful as a starting pitcher. I agree. I totally agree. I'm not even giving you the numbers because they're awful. But he's only made 24 starts in three seasons with the Cardinals. And at least a third of those came in the role of the opener. You know what that is. That's a reliever starting a game because they're shorthanded in starters. So they bring a reliever out there to open the game, give them an inning, two innings, three innings before leaving. Lubitor has never had a fully legitimate opportunity to start in the majors. So in my opinion, it seems rather harsh to dismiss the idea that he could be a good starter in the majors, but they're not going to give him an opportunity. Oh, they say they will, but are they? Lubitor is going to be stretching out again in spring training, so just in case, he'll be capable of starting. But does anyone really believe they would seriously give him a chance, a real chance to be a starting pitcher? And this is, remember, everything I'm saying in here is based on the premise that this is supposed to be the year of the young people, right? You know, that's the thing. That's why I keep calling BS on this. And every time I do, I get some pushback. And I have to say, and I'm going to sound like a jerk, it does warm my old heart that I see other people in the media now really fussing over this. Wait a minute. This isn't any kind of reset. This isn't like wide open. We're going to play all the young people. No. Just look at their starting rotation. What are we talking about? Don't be stupid. They're not. This isn't a real thing. It's a limited thing. But if you're having a reset year, this is the time that you would look at Lubitor as a starting pitcher. Oh, but boy, you got to give the ball to Miles Michaelis every fifth day, right? Anyway, hey, that's Steven Matz. We're telling you. You watch out, 2025. Ooh. I lost my place. So I'm personally would not dismiss, foreclose on the idea that he could be a starter because he's never been really given a full chance to be a starter. You can't limit a young starter's number of starts and yo-yo him constantly between bullpen rotation Memphis, bullpen rotation Memphis, and then make a fair judgment on what he really is. To this point, the Cardinals haven't known what to do with Lubitor, which makes sense because the Cardinals, frankly, don't know what they're doing with young starting pitchers anyway. Perhaps Lubitor is destined to become a nasty setup man, or maybe even a potential closer. Who knows? He has been really good in relief for the most part. All I'm saying is this. With a smarter organization directing Lubitor's career, he likely would have been put on that starting pitching track and a commitment would have been made to that. And he certainly would have had more than 100 big league innings in three seasons as a bullpen starter, yo-yo pitcher, starter, bullpen, Memphis starter, pitcher. You know, he's only pitched 100 innings as a starter in the big leagues. Memphis, yo-yo, bullpen rotation, St. Louis, Memphis, yo-yo rotation. Just a smarter and more advanced organization would come up with ways to make Libby more effective against right-handed batters. But so far, nothing. But because the Cardinals have struck out with so many of these young starters, and a lot of it is their fault, they just throw their hands up, give up, and either send the guy to the bullpen or ship him to Memphis. That's their solution. Next up, my favorite example, because pardon me for being insufferable, but I was raising Cain over this. I would even say like in his second year in the big leagues, when they insisted on having Palante in the bullpen, we'll go through all that, and he's not a starting pitcher. And they finally realized, well, maybe he is a starting pitcher in 2024, but that was kind of an accident. And let me get into this. Okay, he's 26 now, having spent parts of three seasons with the Cardinals after being drafted in the fourth round in 2019. The fourth round's an early pick, right? As a rookie in 2022, Palante got a chance to start 10 games to cover for injuries in the rotation, and he did pretty well. He had a 3.98 ERA. You say, well, that's okay. Is that really good? Yeah, based on a rookie, it is. Among 32 rookie starters who had at least 50 innings pitched that year as a starter, He was 11th among the 32 in ERA, and he had the highest ground ball rate, over 61%, among rookie starting pitchers. Now, don't you think that some organizations who are like chronically short of starting pitching, which has been just like this redundant problem, right, would look at what he did in 10 starts as a rookie, right? One of the better rookie pitchers in Major League Baseball that season. Don't you think that some organizations who are always searching for starters would look at what he did and say, gee, this Pallante looked pretty dang good, especially for a rookie. He knows how to pitch. He isn't a big strikeout guy, but that ground ball rate is exceptional. That's really effective. You get batters out from the right side of the plate, left side of the plate. He keeps the ball in the yard because it's a lot of ground balls, ground balls, ground balls. Hey, ground balls are okay if you're not a big strikeout guy. Ground balls are okay. Just ask Dave Duncan about that. He'll fill you in. Quality starting pitching is hard to find. So, you know, maybe we ought to take more of a look at this boy, Pallante. Maybe we have found something here in this Pallante. That way, maybe we won't have to be scrambling like crazy people to sign mediocre starting pitchers to fill rotation spots. Yeah, I think smart organizations may have thought that, right? But this one didn't. The Cardinals didn't realize what they had in him. They were just hell-bent on this idea that, oh, he's a reliever. You know why? Because he can neutralize, or he did as a rookie reliever, left-handed batters, by getting a lot of ground ball outs. And Pallante did have a fine rookie season as a reliever, posting a 2.35 ERA in 37 appearances, and he got a lot of grounders. But here's the thing, and if the people in the dugout or the front office can't understand this, my goodness, what chance do you really have? Opponents adjust to each other. You know, Pallante, ground ball, ground ball, ground ball, and he's throwing a lot of a lot of sinkers out of the strike zone, and they were chasing it, and there's weak contact and all that stuff, easy ground balls, all that stuff. So they adjusted to him. Whoa, okay, we're on to his act now. And so in 2023 and 24, as a reliever, if you put the two seasons, combine them together, 4.96 ERA, let's just call it five, and a 2.90 batting average against him in 71 relief appearances. He didn't control the strike zone because, like I said, hitters were now laying off some stuff they used to chase. His walk rate in relief, because they weren't chasing pitches and getting themselves out. If you want to walk me, walk me. His walk rate in relief over the two seasons was 10%. So the on-base percentage against him as a reliever in the previous two seasons was .366. That's way too high. So clearly, Pallante was not an effective major league reliever once hitters figured out his script. But don't tell the Cardinals that. No, sir, don't. No, they know better than we do. Yeah, they know. They're smartest people in the room. Yeah, their room. That's not all the other rooms in baseball. No, sir. He's a reliever. We know what we're doing. Thank you for the suggestion. But he's a reliever. He's not a starting pitcher, period. Thank you. End of discussion. So when the Cardinals assigned Pallante back to Memphis early last season, he stopped and had a request in a meeting with Marmol and the pitching coach before he left. He said, hey, I want to go back to AAA. Can I work on becoming a starting pitcher? Pallante said, I really think that I'm best suited for that because I can use a variety of pitchers. When you're a reliever, it's like you got to kind of say, okay, what do I throw best? And, you use it over and over again. When you're a starter, man, you can work it. You can use a variety. You have a pitch mix. You can keep people off balance. And he said, he told the manager in the pitching coach, I really think that I'm best suited for this. So could I have a chance to go work on being a starter? The Cardinals agreed. It wasn't their idea, but they agreed. So think about this for a minute. Please think about this for a minute. The player, not the team, the people who run and manage the team, the player realized that the bullpen wasn't the right spot for him. The player, not the team, knew that he'd be more effective as a starting pitcher. So Pallante went down to Memphis. He moved into the rotation. He had four starts, a 2.20 ERA, and well, what do you know? Steven Matz got hurt again. I know that's hard to believe. In early May, and the Cardinals tried to get by using their four established starters, Gray Michaelis, Gibson Lynn, and they used Libitor as the, you know, the back and forth yo-yo starter, spot starter, bullpen, yo-yo, bullpen, starter, spot starter, opener, yo-yo, bullpen, you know. So this was no way to go, and the Cardinals promoted Pallante to the big club. You know why they did? Because they had to. They didn't have any other choice. They just didn't have another choice at that time. From May 29th, and you all know this, but I'll just remind you, from May 29th through the end of the season, Pallante had a 3.56 ERA in 20 starts. It was the best starting pitching ERA on the team from May 29th until the final game. And let's be honest here. Like I said, this wasn't a plan that the Cardinals hatched. This was a suggestion, a plea made by the pitcher himself. And they decided to go with it and bring him up to the majors because they didn't know what else to do. And I tell you what, if Mats had returned from that back issue earlier than he did, which was like never, basically, they would have had Pallante on the next train to Memphis, right? So they sort of lucked into this one. Pallante knew what he could do. The Cardinals did not know what he could do. They did not have a clue. In his big league career, listen to this, in his big league career as a Cardinal, Pallante's got a 3.69 ERA in 30 starts. Over the last three seasons, among starting pitchers that made at least 30 starts for the Cardinals, the only guy with a better ERA as a starter was Jordan Montgomery. Pallante ranked second. In Pallante's career starts in the majors, he's allowed three runs or fewer in 24 of his 30 assignments, and he has an above-average game score, which was devised by Bill James. And remember, again, he had to go to them and say, I'm a starter. With all due respect, I'm a starter, not a reliever. So it's a good thing Pallante took the initiative and spoke up, or he still might be languishing as a miscast reliever. All right, let's talk about the latest example, Michael McGreevy. The right-hander was the 18th overall pick in the 2021 draft. It took a long time to kind of get his stuff sorted out as from a pitching selection and pitching shape and all that good stuff. But he started to click it in as the 2024 season played on. He began using an expanded assortment of pitchers. The cutter started to become a real – it was off to a slow start with it, but he started using a cutter, and after a while, it really started to become a terrific pitch for him. And I think he did get some good advice. I mean, fair to be fair, he did get some good advice from the Cardinals minor league pitching coordinator. I didn't know they had one, but I guess they had at least one, right? And the advice did help him. So, you know, in fairness, I got to point that out. So, as you all know, McGreevy made his first major league start on July 31st. He was brilliant. He held the Texas Rangers to one run in seven innings. But here's the thing. If you were the Cardinals, and I don't mean right away, if you were the Cardinals, and once you started to fall out of the wild card race, and they were starting to fall out of the wild card race, maybe the second week of August, between the second and third week of August, wouldn't you want to see a lot more of what you saw on July 31st? Wouldn't you just say, well, this one's over. You know, we're just not going to get there. Let's get McGreevy up here and give him some starts because he may be in our rotation for 2025. So let's get a longer look at him. Let's get him prepped. Let's get him ready to be ready to step in and be a starter from day one in 2025. Did they do that? No. Even though the Cardinals began to fall out of the wild card race the second week of August, McGreevy did not make another start for them until September 24th at Colorado. That's the final week of the season, next to last series of the season. July 31st makes one of the best starts by a Cardinals pitcher all year, and that was coming off when he was pitching very, very well at Memphis. They have a team that's an also-ran with no chance to make playoffs. So they go from, after he was finished work on July 31st, they didn't start him in a major league game until September 24th. And then they gave him another start on September the 29th in San Francisco, the final weekend of the season. In his three starts, McGreevy had a 2.25 ERA. He allowed a 1.92 batting average. He limited hitters to a 2.24 on base percentage because he throws strike after strike after strike. And he's got movement. And he's a smart pitcher. It took him a while. It took him a while, but he figured it all out. He limited hitters to a 2.24 on base percentage and only a 300 slugging percentage. He allowed 15 hits, two walks, and one homer in 20 innings. He was excellent. But instead of using that July 31st smashing debut as the motivation to move him into the rotation at some point, no, can't do that. Kept handing the ball to good old Miles Michaelis, get that ERA. Maybe Miles can get that ERA under five. You know, we got to give him a chance. He's a Cardinal. We like our veterans. Anyway, they kept giving the ball to Michaelis, who was terrible and finished the season with ERA over five. Last two seasons together, ERA over five. And they kept starting Kyle Gibson, even though they knew they were not going to pick up his option. Same with Lance Lynn. They knew they were going to pick up his option. So this would have been the ideal time to give McGreevy more starts, right? There was nothing at stake. And two of the pitchers that were making starts, you had already decided internally, no, we're not going to pick up their option because we're going to go into the reset. We're going to give the young pitchers an opportunity, except they're not. Anyway, the Cardinals had a chance to just to let McGreevy make four, five, six starts, whatever you want to say, you know, in addition to the two or three he made. This is just incompetence. There's just no logic in this kind of decision. The neglect in utilizing McGreevy was a wasted opportunity to get him more acclimated and to prepare him for a spot in the 25 major league rotation. But they also ran Cardinals, just stayed in their lane, no direction. You know, it's like, well we want to, maybe it would be nice to have a winning record. Okay, they had a winning record. Did you see the fans rushing to the laptops or the PCs to order tickets for this year because they won 83 games instead of 81? Delusional. They kept him at Memphis instead, McGreevy, where he really had nothing else to work on down there. Seriously, he didn't. Don't take it from me. The guys at MLB Pipeline who track prospects, and they're really, really good at it. I trust them. They wrote this in August, but it's talking about how impressed they were with McGreevy. Quote, if and when St. Louis has another rotation opening in September, shouldn't shy away from turning back to McGreevy, who showed six different pitch types in his first start on July 31st. And he has a long history of throwing strikes. They were like pleading with the Cardinals. Hey, listen, you guys may not know this, but those of us who track all these young pitchers know this. He's a different pitcher now. He's throwing six different kinds of pitches for strikes. He's really got a hell of an arsenal. You may not know it, but we know it. Why don't you give him some starts? Nah, not John Mozeliak, not the Cardinals front office. Smartest people in any room, right? So here's my concern for 2025. Pardon my sarcasm. McGreevy has already shown an ability to pitch in the majors, but as of now, as we know, the Cardinals' five-man rotation is filled by Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, and Matz. I'm glad Pallante is in there. I love Sonny Gray. I wish that they would trade Eric Fetty, but they're not, because they're going to contend for, third place in the NL Central, maybe? Yeah, okay, something like that. Unless they make a move, meaning trade Fetty, tell Michaelis to go home and fish in Key West or whatever, find a taker for Matz. Unless they make a move or someone or some people get hurt, where's the opening for McGreevy? Now, I know what some of you will say because you've said it in the comment section. It's like, well, relax. He'll get his chance eventually. I don't disagree with that. But this is the year of the reset, the year of the opportunities for young players. This is what the Cardinals tell us this year is supposed to be about. The whole idea of like, well, eventually he'll get a chance. It's not supposed to be this way. Why should this be viewed as an eventual thing? Why isn't this hapless organization aggressively doing what must be done to get McGreevy in the rotation from the get-go, or at least very early in the regular season? I don't understand this. They keep talking about it and I'm beating it to death, but you have to, because they need to be held accountable. Young players, young pitchers, young hitters, young, we're going young, we're going bananas. Except they're not. This is an organization that doesn't know what to do to go find starting pitching, and they've had all this starting pitching sitting there that they don't know what to do with. Or they've miscast them, or they're doing the yo-yo Memphis, St. Louis, bullpen, Memphis relief, St. Louis relief, major league starter, major league reliever, Memphis starter, Memphis reliever. You know, they don't know what to do with these guys. Just don't know what to do with them. And yet they're always saying, "Yeah, well, we better go out and get some pitching." They used to be founded on the strength of drafting starting pitchers and developing them. And that was lost. And they're now, all it is now, all it's been is chaos, okay? And that chaos continues even now. So anyway, does this make any sense? I don't think it does. It's supposed to be the season of opportunity for the young. It's supposed to be the young arms. It's supposed to be the young hitters. It's supposed to be young. The young and restless. The less experienced pitchers and hitters are supposed to get more time, more op, an abundance of reps, right? I got one for you. I was watching and listening to my friend Katie Wu, The Athletic, on her Fair Territory YouTube channel. And you should watch that, by the way. And I love seeing Trevor Rosenthal on there. And they were talking about various matters, and they were talking about Michael McCreevy. And Katie said, and I'm paraphrasing, but she made basically a prediction. It was kind of like, you know what I think is going to happen here? She said she anticipated, and she seemed very confident about this because she knows the Cardinals like we do. They would use McCreevy out of the bullpen. Here we go again. You know, relievers are easy to find. Starting pitchers are not easy to find. John Mozeliak has said it. Every general manager has said it. Relievers are fungible. If you know what you're looking for, they're disposable. You can go get them. They're everywhere. There's so much of a surplus. You can get them at low cost and all this stuff. That ain't the case with starting pitchers. They're harder to find and they're more expensive. But the Cardinals' first reflex action is like, well, we'll put them in the bullpen. So anyway, Katie anticipated the Cardinals would use McGreevy out of the bullpen. And then she pointed out, depending on the timing of an injury to one of the starting pitchers, McGreevy could be next in line. But he wouldn't be able to move into the rotation because he had been working in the bullpen and he's not stretched out to be a starter. So then they'd have to send him to Memphis or something to be a starter. Cuckoo. Absolutely cuckoo. This is, in fact, insanity, not literally, but you know what I mean. The Cardinals' current regime does this over and over and over and over again. Hey, McGreevy was a first-round pick. Libertor was a first-round pick. Thompson was a first-round pick. Palante was drafted early enough, fourth round. And while they work for a front office that is often in desperate, panicky search for starting pitching, even though all of them are starting pitchers, Mozeliak and associates, including Ali Marmol, I defend him when he deserves it. I will not defend him when he doesn't deserve it. They're reluctant to give a full starting pitching opportunity to pitchers the team either drafted in the first round, drafted in the fourth round, or traded Randy Rosarena for. And yet we're constantly seeing this regime rush out in the market to buy starting pitching or make these quick trades at the deadline to fill voids in the starting pitching. The never-ending story, there's been voids in the starting pitching for as long as we can remember. It's Looney Tunes stuff, man. They waste time with these yo-yo moves and starter reliever. Memphis or St. Louis. They have no idea what they're doing because they have no idea what they have, which means, of course, they have no idea what they're doing. Goes around in circles. And again, they can't pick a direction. They draft guys to be starting pitchers, but at the first sign of failure or weakness, get them into the bullpen. Get them to Memphis. They don't have a direction. They don't stick with anything. And it's true even now in the season of the kids, the season of the young, the reset marketing pitch is mostly nonsense. If the Cardinals were sincere and serious about this so-called reset, we'd be seeing all kinds of young starting pitchers getting good looks in 2025. Not all at once, not right away, but there's quite a few of them waiting in the wings or who are available for duty or who will be. McGreevy, Libertor, Thompson, Quinn Matthews, Sam Robesay, Tecole Roby, Cooper Jerby, Ian Bedell, Drew Rahm, maybe several others. The good news, Heim Bloom will be in charge of the baseball decisions at the end of the 2025 season. I'm not saying Bloom's going to be Branch Rickey or even Walt Jocketty, but Heim Bloom, especially with the people he's bringing in, his cabinet will be a lot smarter than what John Mozeliak has worked with. He'll be a hell of a lot smarter, Heim Bloom, than the people that have been making a mess of Cardinals baseball in recent years, and Bloom will absolutely fill the competency void and go beyond that. They'll actually have a program for developing young pitchers. Until then, just cross your fingers and hope, as I am, there you go, that the final year of this failing regime won't break, misuse, or otherwise fail to properly resource a collection of young pitchers who could actually be pretty damn good and help move this team forward over the next few seasons. All right, I got that done in 35 minutes. I thought I might even go longer. A lot of information, a lot of perspective, a lot of opinions in there. So thanks for sticking with this if you did. I do this for a reason. It'd be easier for me to do 12-minute videos is what I'm trying to say, and I think I'm going to start doing that more and more often. But sometimes you got to just lay all this out on the table and talk about it. So that's what I try to do in this video. Appreciate your patience and your support. Thank you. Leave some comments. We'll talk tomorrow here on The Bernie Show.